So I've got something exciting to share. My book, What Are You Thirsty For? Rethinking Alcohol and the Life You Want, is now available for pre-order. It's about rethinking your drinking, not because you necessarily have to, but because deep down you know there's more waiting on the other side. It's about creating space for clarity, for calm, and the version of you that doesn't need alcohol to cope. So if you're looking for a refreshing take on alcohol identity and desire, just tap the link in the show notes and pre-order. Right, let's get on with the episode. Welcome to the Big Drink Rethink podcast with me, your host, Anna Donaghy. If you've noticed that the drinking culture in the UK is changing and you're curious about why and what this means to your world, then this is the podcast for you. Throughout this series, I will be chatting with the thought-provoking, forward-thinking people at the heart of this shift to find out what makes them tick and to explore the sober curious perspective from all angles. And I'll also be giving you oodles of personal tools and tactics to help you get on board the Big Drink Rethink. Hello, and welcome back to the Big Drink Rethink, where over the next 6 to 7 weeks, I'm going to be doing something a bit different. It's going to be like a little mini summer series. So episodes over July and August to help you navigate the summer months on your terms. Now, what does that even mean? Well, it means that I want you to be in control, not the weather, not your mates, all their expectations, not holiday habits, these well-trodden ingrained routines that pull you into behaviours that you don't want, and definitely, definitely not the all-inclusive holiday that you might have booked. Okay, I want this to be a summer that you navigate on your terms. Summer is phenomenal. It's supposed to be a time of lightness in every sense of the word. You know, in the natural world, it's the season of energy and expression, a time when growth reaches full bloom, longer days, warmer air, everything open and expansive. It's nature's invitation to live out loud and to connect and create and to celebrate. But here's the paradox. For all of its promise, summer can also leave us with a sense of foreboding, a kind of here we go again on the alcohol treadmill. It can leave us feeling anything but replenished. Because for those of us who see it as a time to drink with a sense of unchecked freedom, and I was certainly one of those, we can go away full of this sense that we're going to unwind, and yet we can return absolutely exhausted. We can plan holidays that are meant to restore us and come back broken, physically and emotionally broken. And that was me. As I said, that was me. I used to joke that I needed a holiday to recover from my holiday. Whilst actually, you know, joking aside, I could feel really wretched about that. I'd look forward to holidays. I'd spend a lot of money on holidays. I would wait and wait and wait with great anticipation. I would go away and I would seem to sort of spank away the holiday drinking. And then I would come back and I felt anything other than restored, anything other than recharged, you know. And it felt like a monumental miss, actually, on my part, even though I thought I was enjoying it at the time. So if drinking is to the default, it can take the shine off the season, which is a real shame because we spend really good money on that chance to go away and feel different. We put on a lot of emotional stock and investment in that precious time off work. But we often end up doing exactly the same thing we do at home, but just in a different setting. Same rituals, same hangovers, same arguments, same regrets. Only this time with a sea view. And when you think about it, listen to that. Same rituals, same hangovers, same arguments, same regrets. There's a sort of homogeneity that alcohol can bring, albeit with a different view. And that's why this summer, I want to help you flip the script. Because this season, you know, with its spaciousness and light and possibility, it's actually the perfect time to rethink your drinking. People always say, oh, I'll just get summer out of the way. I'll just get, you know, July and August out of the way, and then I'll get to grips with my drinking. But that's just another precious summer spent in the same old groove. And that neural pathway that has us approaching summer every year in the same old way just becomes ingrained one summer deeper. So why not use this summer to experiment, to explore, to try something new? Because given that it has so much investment attached and it means so much to us, make it count. Whether it's a holiday abroad that you want to experiment with alcohol-free, or just a weekend at a friend's house, or a barbecue on a Saturday afternoon, or just, you know, a glass of something on a sunny Friday. These moments can be exactly what they're meant to be. Joyful, connective, restorative, but just without the booze. And of course, if you're already well on your way to ditching the booze altogether, then I intend this little mini series to be absolutely vital support to keep you on track so summer doesn't derail you and those all important summer holidays don't derail you. In fact, they become a really transformative first, you know, one of those things that we have to hurdle or jump over in our first year of not drinking, these all important firsts. So, you know, let this summer be one of those. We hurdle and crack on with alcohol-free intentions. So what is this mini-series going to look like? Well, I'm going to be bringing you a mix of listener favourites, some summer-relevant quick tools, some really important mindset shifts. Those are going to start today for sure. Some gentle challenges and nudges, and some seasonal drink recommendations. I've even got a suggested playlist and a reading list, all designed to help you feel more empowered, more present, more proud, okay? So let's make this your most conscious, energizing summer yet. Cool. All right. Well, look, let's kick off by acknowledging what the challenges around summer holidays are. Summer as a whole, summer holidays in particular, okay? So first off, obviously, there is the sunshine. Now, a couple of weeks ago, during a really sunny spell, I released a whole episode on sunshine triggers before it occurred to me to do this little mini series. So in hindsight, I should have probably kicked this off then. But hey ho, hindsight's a great thing. What I would say is if you haven't listened to it, then when you finished up here today, I would go and listen to episode 75. But in brief, I talk in depth about the conditioned associations of the sun, how it boosts mood and stimulates your brain to look for even more mood elevation, the FOMO we experience during summer when everyone else is living their life outdoors and publicly, and of course, the fact that sun reminds us of our summer holidays. Now, as I said, the associations we have between the sun and alcohol are a massive part of why we find holidays so challenging. So I actually don't want to skim it here. I don't want to do it a disservice by just skimming through it here. I recommend you go have a listen to episode 75 if you haven't already. It's a toolkit exercise. It actually gives you a little tool to help you reframe those sunny pangs. But better still, download it. And to make sure you take it as a downloaded podcast episode on your hollybobs, because it's going to be really useful listening, I promise you. Okay. What I am going to delve into here, though, in terms of why holidays are really challenging, is because they are overloaded with expectation. We invest emotional energy, we invest money, we invest time, and we even invest a lot of our relationship hopes into holidays, broader relationships, family relationships. Okay. They're seen as our reward for the grind, especially when we work like crazy in the weeks leading up to it, or, you know, it comes at the end of a school term when, quite frankly, both parents and kids are on their knees. So, you know, we invest a lot of time in it. We plan them. We work hard. We spend our money on them. They feel like a reward. They can also feel like a sacred moment to reconnect, and even fix what we might have a sense of as being broken. So everybody can get a bit touchy in the long breaks between holidays. You may have relegated time with your partner in the period of time since the last holidays, and, you know, in the busier day to day, you may have not spent as much time with your kids. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, it doesn't matter, because when we go away, I'm going to spend loads of time with my husband and my kids, or with my wife and my kids. So, you know, we put so much pressure. Basically, these holidays become the thing. And alcohol can then become a bit of a shortcut to maximizing the moment. There's so much riding on the trip, you know, from relaxation to romance to family bonding, and the stakes feel high. And where there are high expectations, there is high pressure. And we often sort of enter summer holidays with this unspoken belief that, you know, this is my chance to reset, to reconnect, to feel free again. And we put so much emotional weight on this belief and on this brief window of time that it's going to make up for the stresses of the year. It's going to fix our burnout. It's going to reconnect us with people. It's going to reignite the joy, even the romance, you know, bring us all closer. And that pressure alone can feel really overwhelming. And as I said, alcohol becomes a sort of the fast track tool that we've learned to use to sort of soften the intensity and to kickstart the good feelings, and even actually mute the disappointment when the reality doesn't quite match the dream. And that is the thing. That is the thing, unfortunately. Holidays can bring up deep feelings also of guilt, you know, maybe about how much money we've spent, or worry about how much money we've spent, or whether we're having the right kind of holiday for our kids, feelings of resentment, you know, unmet needs in family dynamics, feelings of loneliness, even when you're surrounded by other people, disappointment if the holiday isn't going the way you want it to go. So alcohol can look like a quick fix for those negative emotions too, these emotional contradictions. So the very, very fact that holidays are so emotionally charged means that they can, if we choose, also be a beautiful opportunity to notice, to rewire, to feel things fully, to max out on that time that we've invested so much in by being fully present, and to basically practice joy and being happy on our own terms, okay? The next reason why holidays are so challenging is that the drinks industry has marketed the hell out of booze as being the access point to luxury and fun. So from poolside bars to mini bars, airport lounges, champagne on arrival, cocktails at sunset, alcohol is baked into every glossy advert and travel moment. And these aren't just casual cues, by the way. They are cultural scripts played out time and time again by the industry to promote sales at this, one of their peak times of the year. So, you know, when you expect alcohol to deliver the holiday feeling, it becomes harder to imagine alternatives. Okay. Next up, we have the power of the all-inclusive holiday mentality. This is a big one. Okay, the sort of the rise in popularity of the all-inclusive holiday. A great way, by the way, to budget. If you're going on holiday on a budget and you kind of like paid up front, it's kind of free when I'm there, isn't it? So you set off on holiday with this whole, I need to get my money's worth mindset. So increasingly popular, as I said, and marketed as great value, these all-inclusive resorts or all-inclusive holiday packages are a huge trigger. Because even if you weren't thinking about drinking, you know, the sunk cost mindset kicks in. So you booked your all-inclusive several months ago, and maybe you've gone alcohol-free since, and suddenly, bang, holiday is coming, and it's like, oh my God, you know, I paid a lot of money for this package. I've already sunk the cost. I've spent the money. I need to get my money's worth. And straight away, you know, it seems ludicrous with that mindset that you can even think of going away and not filling your boots from the bar. Now, for those of you already on the alcohol-free journey, this is clearly a risk. You know, there's a risk of returning to that old you kind of thinking. Scarcity is what the whole all-inclusive package conjures up. You know, scarcity. You know, I need to drink all the booze I can in order to get what I paid for. But this undermines the investment that you have since made in yourself. You know, to drink less or to cut it out altogether in that time since you've booked the holiday. So the investment you've since made is in your health and yourself and your trust and connection. So we'll talk about ways in a minute of overcoming that mindset. And finally, one of the biggest challenges connected with holidays, which I would be totally remiss to not point out, is the basic concept of travel days and airports. Oh my goodness. I mean, literally, airports are like little separate ecosystems unto themselves. You know, the same rules don't apply in airports to the outside world. Holiday mode basically kicks in as soon as you walk through the revolving doors of any airport. And, you know, regardless of what time of day it is, it's really typical to see the Wetherspoons or whatever pub might be there, literally full of holidaymakers drinking pints at 10 o'clock in the morning. And then there's the drinks trolley on the plane or complimentary drinks in the lounge or, oh my goodness, at the other end, there's welcome drinks when you get there. Or complimentary drinks in the room or the villa. So even if you're not drinking lager at 7 a.m. in the airport, all of these moments, all of them set the tone. And of course, let's also acknowledge those who are nervous of flying, you know, who treat those sort of pre-flight drinks, regardless of time of day, as vital preparation simply for getting on the plane. Okay, so again, ingrained habits die hard and the temptation is all around you once you're in that airport space. Look, there's oodles of reasons. There's oodles of reasons why holidays can feel challenging. But let's acknowledge those. We've talked about them, we've just outlined them. Let's have a think about how to navigate them, okay? So here are some holiday tips for what I would like to say will be a sort of a joyful, alcohol-free holiday, but certainly things to really consider if you want to go away and be in control of your drinking. The first thing I would suggest you do is take some time, which is not always easy in the hectic run-up to holidays, but take some time to visualize it before you go. Now, I am a massive fan of visualization, not least because it has scientific grounding in terms of it sort of greatly enhancing your likelihood of success. Because what you're doing is you're laying down a clear image of what success looks like, but also it's just loaded with intention. And that is the precursor to forming a tangible plan, okay? So spend time imagining the kind of holiday you actually want, literally as if you're already there. So, you know, visualize the restful mornings, the peaceful moments before everyone else drags themselves out of bed, presence, moments when you're properly present, laughter that you can remember, vivid memories, no arguments or anxiety. Now, visualization helps calm the brain and set positive expectations. So it's about literally rehearsing what the holiday looks like on your terms. Now, there's a visualization in the exercise in the free resources area of my website if you want to explore this properly, which I recommend you do. I think it was discussed originally in the context of Christmas, but it's massively relevant to any occasion like a summer holiday. And in fact, if you stick with this mini series, and we'll have a proper look at it in a couple of episodes time, actually, maybe even next week, we'll have a look at it in terms of what it might feel like with regards to summer holidays, either next week or the week after next. I'm going to keep you guessing. You're going to have to come back and find out. But anyway, we'll look at visualization in the context of summer holidays. What you're essentially trying to capture is a kind of visual, sensorial, vivid sense of how you want to feel during this holiday. What do I want to feel like in the morning? What do I want to feel like when I'm lying by the pool? What do I want to feel like when I'm getting ready to go out in the evening? And then the same sense of looking forward and really getting a grasp of how you want to feel vitally when you come home. How do I want to feel afterwards? Now, for me, I would say I want to feel rested and recharged and restored and replenished and energized. And I used to come home feeling none of those things. But when I did stop drinking, and actually as a key part of me, you know, my first holiday alcohol free, I did this exercise, okay? And it was mega. I said, I definitely want this to be the holiday, the turning point, when I prove to myself that holidays can be done in a different way. And not only that they can be done in a different way, but I'm never going to want to have another holiday like I used to holiday. This, I said to myself, Anna, this is the future of holidays. I want to feel, when I come back, restored, rested, recharged, replenished, and, interestingly, armed and poised. Armed and poised for attacking what's in front of me when I get back. You know, this is, I don't know, a sense of I wanted to come back feeling really kind of energized, armed and poised for, you know, September, October, November, December to get me through the autumn and the winter. I just wanted to make sure that, you know, on holiday, the sun and the rest and the break recharged me so that I could come back full and optimistic. And I would think to myself, and how am I going to feel when I've done that? When I've gone away and I've worked my way through this holiday, done this holiday, nailed this holiday in the way that I want, how's that going to make me feel afterwards? I want to feel proud. I want to feel empowered. I want to feel fully charged. I want to feel like ready to go. And again, visualization is making sure that you've got a really visual sense and a really very sort of sensorial sense of how that's going to be. So visualization is key. And I would honestly say, however busy you are in your lead up to a holiday, don't skip it. Don't skip it. It's vital. Okay. The second thing you can do is deeply practical. And I would say, don't just take a replacement drink if you don't think one's going to be on offer. Think hard about the ritual around that too. To explain that, okay, a lot of overseas destinations are pretty good on the alcohol-free beers these days. I've not been on holiday in the last 5 years when there hasn't been, you know, a huge range of non-alcoholic drinks, beers mainly available. They're well ahead of the UK in many ways. And also, you know, iced teas and all that sort of stuff, iced coffees, they take them very, very seriously. Not as many are as good on the alcohol-free spirits. So I say take some. Take some if that's your thing. Whatever your drink of choice has become, take some. To have in the villa, the hotel room, the campsite, wherever you might be going, there is nothing wrong whatsoever with doing that. You might feel a bit silly. I don't know why you would, but you might feel a little bit silly. But it's a bloody nightmare if you go somewhere and they suddenly don't have a drink that you want and you sit there feeling like you're not having a treat when others are. The other thing you can do is call ahead and ask the hotel or the rental company, you know, what's on offer. Seriously, you can. We went to Greece last year and we rented a villa and I knew that there was going to be a welcome hamper of sorts, you know, some tea bags and things like that. I guessed there'd be a complimentary bottle of wine and I specifically asked them to include some alcohol-free beers in there too. Now, what actually ended up happening is we arrived all hot and sweaty after a delayed flight. My husband ended up with a slightly dodgy bottle of warm local red wine and bless them, the villa company had popped a six-pack of actually very good alcohol-free lagers in the fridge. So I definitely had the most refreshing option on arrival. I had a nice kind of dewy, cold, refreshing, alcohol-free lager. Well, my husband did end up having that as well. It was by far the more appealing option in the hot weather. And in my bag, when I say, you know, pack a ritual, not just a replacement, I didn't take spirits and stuff with me. I didn't take alcohol-free spirits with me. I didn't feel I needed to do that. I thought I would explore and experiment with whatever is there. But I did take a little mocktail book. I bought the vibe. I was going to explore everything that was on offer in Greece by way of all the fresh fruit and the syrups and the non-alcoholic this, that and everything else, because I bought a little mocktail book with me and I was going to make sure that my sundowners felt like a treat. So it's little things like that, okay? Just little things like that to think ahead and take with you. The next thing I would say as a big tip is decide your anchor. So holidays are full of disrupted routines. You can feel quite untethered, less anchored. So it really helps to create and decide your own anchor. And by that, what I mean is have real clarity as to what you are staying alcohol free for, because you're possibly going to feel tempted. You're possibly going to have a sense of, ooh, I'm having one of those kind of drinking moments, one of those thoughts. And it's really, really important to have this sense of why, your overall why, actually, in terms of why you might be looking at a sort of more alcohol-free life. Is it clarity? Is it energy? Is it because you want a better relationship with yourself? Is it because you're trying to, you know, mend relationships more broadly? Is it health reasons? Is it because you want to be a better role model? Anchoring to this meaningful reason, what I call your why, helps when those old scripts whisper, okay? Because what you can keep coming back to is the sense that you're not depriving yourself. You're choosing something better. And when I coach people, I always suggest that they write their why on a post-it note and put it somewhere where they can see it every day. A daily prompt, a daily reminder, a daily anchor of why it is that they're doing this in the first place. Now, that might be a little bit more tricky when you're somewhere else. So pop it on a post-it note anyway, and then take a photo of it. So you've got the photo with you. Look at it every morning, okay? Or pop it into the notes app on your iPhone and look at it. You can look at it whenever you need motivation and strength. Or, and this is really anal, but it's just me, as I did on my first holiday, I got a sense that my temptations, if they were going to come, were going to be sort of late afternoon, early evening. So I set an alarm on my phone to look at it, to look at that post-it note photo on my phone at 5 o'clock every evening and again in the morning, just so I could remember my overall why, my sense of purpose. Okay. The next thing you can do to help navigate is plan. This is slightly different from the sort of the overarching visualization of the type of holiday you want and how you want to feel when you're there and how you want to feel when you come back. This is about planning for the moments that you most associate with drinking. So holidays are full of triggers, unfortunately. We've mentioned airports and travel days, but beach bars, pool bars, al fresco dining, pavement cafes, sunsets, clubs, restaurants, you know, you name it. So plan ahead of time, so you're not caught off guard. You know, if the first drink is always the hardest one to sort of push back and say no thank you to, pre-decide what your alternative is going to be. And by the way, yes, make it lovely. I've said this before on this podcast, and I've no doubt I'll say it again, but failing to plan is planning to fail. So when you're looking at your why every morning, think ahead to the day. What am I doing? What am I doing today? What am I going to do today? What's going to come up? What am I going to be doing at various points of the day? Are there going to be any sort of flash points? Are there going to be any pinch points, moments when I have to sort of have my answers ready, have my order predetermined in my mind? Think about what they may be. And do you know what? Another thing is it's perfectly okay not to do that stuff that you've done on previous holidays. If you know that lying around by the beach bar is going to echo every single previous drinking holiday. Have less beach days. Have more exploring days. Make it a different type of holiday or a different type of day altogether. Book a spa day, a massage, you know, a private lesson in something. And before you kind of go, yeah, but these things all cost money, so does drinking. Okay, so a really good thing that you could do is, if you think that late afternoon, early evening is a flashpoint for you, book something in. Be doing something different every late afternoon / early evening. Seriously, there's a lot to be said for making sure that you're not just trying to navigate the same old routines, but this time without booze. Make it a holiday of firsts, you know, that wouldn't have been on the cards had you been drinking. Right, next thing. Focus on feeling. So much of this boils down to how you want to feel. Focus on feeling and not fitting in. So others may well be drinking, so you might be thinking, oh, I don't want to look different. I don't want to stand out. But what matters most is how you feel, okay? Don't ever forsake your own plans just to fit in with other people. Again, focus and care not on what you look like and what other people think about you, but how you want to feel. Rested, in control, all that sort of stuff. Most people will either not care or might actually even be quietly inspired, because I like to think that difference often means just ahead of the curve, okay? If they notice it at all, it's amazing how people often feel deep respect for the person able to soak up life and have fun without relying on booze. And again, when I get back, I want to feel healthy. When I get back, I want to feel restored. I want to feel a sense of pride. I want to feel some deep respect for myself. All very good feelings to focus on and say, I'm not going to kind of rob myself of that feeling for a drink. I'm not. Right. Let's come back to this all-inclusive thing, because this is a really vital reframe to consider. All right. We need to really think about what value means, because that's the whole sort of thing about the all-inclusive. I need to get my money's worth. I need to get the value that I've paid for. And that sort of I need to get my money's worth is a massive threat. Okay. Have a think, though, and really consider, what does getting your money's worth really look like now? So if you've not been drinking for a while and suddenly you're faced with this prospect of effectively what you feel are free drinks because you sunk the cost a few months ago, what does getting your money's worth really look like now? For me, it was waking up proud and waking up feeling hydrated and feeling fully present with my kids and creating wonderful memories. You know, the money can't buy kind of memories. That was truly valuable to me. Coming home nourished at the end of the holiday as opposed to wrecked. So what I would encourage you to try and do is, instead of trying to maximize alcohol, think about maximizing your experience. So, you know, one thought could be, my money's worth isn't in booze, it's in memories. And those memories could be clear mornings for sunrise swims or coffees on the balcony, that wonderful first hour of the day when the sun is gorgeous, but the temperature's still bearable and you have peace whilst others still sleep off the excesses of the night before. You know, feeling great in your body instead of bloated and hungover, and actually remembering the meal, the sunset, the moment, the joke that made you laugh so loud. So yes, the buffet, the food, the drink may well be included, but you don't need to binge on it to benefit if the value you're seeking now lies elsewhere and is actually compromised by all of those drinks, okay? And when I talk about things like clear mornings and the wonderful first hour of the day and stuff, there's also something really useful in flipping FOMO into JOMO. And by that, you know, it's a reframe of sorts. The whole fear of missing out can become the joy of missing out. You know, you're not missing the mess, the regret, the self-loathing. Instead, you're choosing something clearer and more connected. So I used to sort of think to myself, I'm not missing out. I'm genuinely not missing out, because I can sit here and I can appreciate the sunset and the company and the sound of the sea and the laughter of my kids. I can appreciate those things. In fact, I don't want to anesthetize those things. I don't want alcohol to dampen my senses. I don't want alcohol to take me out of this moment. So I'm not missing out. I'm opting in to presence and peace and pleasure that I'll actually remember. I'm choosing to go to bed proud, not paranoid, to wake up light and not heavy, to spend my holiday fully alive, not half absent. So actually missing nothing in the moment. And if you ever want to prove this to yourself, just watch others, you know, their evenings becoming less meaningful, more homogenous, their stories becoming less interesting, their eyes becoming less engaged. And know that their sleep is also going to be less restorative, that their memories are going to be less clear. And then look at what you can be joyful about, what you can be joyful about missing out in the morning. All that regret, the unease, the lethargy, the fogginess, the dehydration. And watch others endure those hangovers, okay? Mornings that are sluggish and the whole of the next day that feels compromised. So it kind of ties in with what I've said before with regards to moments when you might otherwise feel, oh, am I missing out a bit? It's like, no. Focus on the gain, not the sacrifice. It's so easy to think of drinking, or not drinking rather, as a restriction. But what you're gaining is profound. Freedom from having to be, you know, tied to a drink in order for you to be experiencing happiness. Freedom, again, from hangovers. Emotional steadiness and the ability to actually enjoy your holiday instead of constantly recovering from big parts of it. So I'm not missing out, I'm moving forward. This isn't about being good and having to be good. This is about finally getting to feel great. Okay, right. Change of subject here. Whether you're going away or staying put, every summer needs a reading list. And here's one that I recommend. All books that I've read, and ones that err on the lighter side, so nothing too heavy for summer reading, thank you very much. I'm not saying that there isn't a place for a bit of Jilly Cooper too. Oh my God, that shows my age. Or Richard Osman or Marion Keyes, who's famously sober, by the way, but still mad as a box of frogs. There's still place for Marion in the backpack, in the suitcase. But here's also some light, empowering, sort of uplifting holiday reading for, I'd say, for the sober or sober curious reader. These titles, by the way, they're not all about alcohol specifically. Some are about mindset or self-discovery or simply just feeling good. And they are perfect, perfect reading, okay, for summers. And again, I'm going to pop a whole kind of summer resources list into the free resources section of the website. So some books I'm about to run through, some podcast episodes I suggest you revisit, and some music, some tracks to create a playlist from, okay? But just to start with, for a read that feels more like a chat with a friend, then if you haven't read it already, The Unexpected Joy of Being Sober by Catherine Gray is brilliant. It's a modern classic. It's honest, it's funny, it's deeply relatable. Catherine writes with warmth and wit, really all about how sobriety transformed her life in ways that she didn't expect, as the title suggests, okay? So The Unexpected Joy of Being Sober is a must. Sober Curious by Ruby Warrington, one of the original Quit Lit books, really. It's not preachy, it's not heavy, but it is more of a kind of, it's a bit less lighthearted than The Unexpected Joy of Being Sober. It's more of a cultural exploration, and it's ideal if you're on the fence about drinking or not drinking, and you want something sort of thoughtful and actually quite stylish to dip into on holiday. Back to Catherine Gray, actually, Sunshine Warm Sober. This is a kind of summer-friendly follow-up to her first book. It's lighter in tone again, and it's perfect for reading in short bursts, so, you know, between beach naps or dips in the pool. And then the fourth book I was going to suggest, so there's two there by Catherine Gray, one by Ruby Warrington. The fourth is from my wonderful podcast guest, Claire Pooley, which is, of course, The Sober Diaries. It's just wonderful. It's literally, it's witty, it's honest, and it's uplifting. And I always kind of think that the memoir kind of reads like a Bridget Jones take on early sobriety. So basically, Claire's documenting her first year alcohol-free, but she does it with real charm and humour and vulnerability. And she covers everything from mummy wine culture to, unfortunately, cancer, but very fortunately, her cancer recovery. It is perfect if you want to feel less alone and more hopeful whilst lounging around in the sun. And it is especially, I always think it's especially ideal for summer because it's light but meaningful in a kind of laugh out loud but still serious way. And it has a real kind of hopeful and forward-looking energy that obviously pairs very well with a holiday mood. So those are alcohol-related, for sure. There are some light and uplifting books that I would actually say have changed my perspective on life. And I'd say they support the sober mindset without literally being about sobriety or alcohol in any shape or form. The first is Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert. And this is about creativity and joy and just permission to live more freely. It's not about alcohol, but it is a fantastic reminder of what's possible when you stop dulling your sparkle, which is what alcohol does, all right? Also light and uplifting, but not specifically about alcohol, take a read of Wintering by Catherine May. And yes, it's called Wintering, even though I'm recommending it in summer, because it's, oh goodness, it's poetic, it's calming, and it's deeply comforting. And it's a book about resting and reflecting and gently returning to yourself. So a process that she calls wintering. Oh my goodness, resting and reflecting and gently returning to yourself is a wonderful goal for summer as well. So beautiful at any time of year. Glennon Doyle has written the wonderful Untamed, which is liberating and life-affirming. And if you want to shake off old expectations and start writing your own story, then, you know, this is a kind of poolside power read. Quit Like a Woman by Holly Whitaker is sassy and smart. It's a bit more direct. It is more direct than Big Magic and Wintering and Untamed. It's when you want to kind of mix, I'd say, feminism with sober curiosity, feminist fire, sober curiosity, as a mix for you. That's Quit Like a Woman by Holly Whitaker. And finally, Radical Acceptance by Tara Brach. Now, I'd say read it, but to be honest, I think the audiobook on this one is better still because there's meditation in there. It's more meditative, actually, and healing, but it's gentle. You can read it, but the audiobook is brill. And that's ideal if you want to explore deeper into self-compassion, you know, and it's the perfect antidote to self-judgment and self-criticism and all the stuff that can creep in during sort of early sobriety. So, well, I don't know whether that was 8 or 10 books, about 10 books, as I say, brilliant for holiday reading, and I'll pop those onto the website. And a playlist, oh my God, every year before I go on holiday, I make a playlist. And I look back now at some of the ones that I had sort of, you know, summer 2016, you know, before I gave up my drinking and stuff like that. And I compare it to the ones that, you know, were summer 2024 or summer 2023. And they're like chalk and cheese. It doesn't mean I still don't love some of the artists that I used to listen to and some of the walloping good tunes. But there's also, you know, a lot of room in a summer playlist for some of the things I'm about to mention. They're life affirming. They're soulful. There's empowering tracks in here as well. They're just sort of a bit of a mix of things, really, that I would say are brilliantly accompaniments to sunsets and morning walks and poolside lounging, or even sort of quiet journaling moments. So songs to lift or ground or energize or calm down. So an example of an uplifting and life-affirming track would be India Ari, Just Do You, it's called, and it's an anthem basically for authenticity and showing up as yourself. There's a lesser known Adele track called River Lee, which is reflective and atmospheric and a really sort of powerful track for emotional honesty, I guess. Corinne Bailey Rae, Put Your Records On, is soft and breezy and joyful. And, you know, it's kind of feels like sunshine. And if it's empowering and motivating music you're looking after, then, you know, Florence and the Machine wallops them out. Shake It Out is both cathartic and soaring. And to me, it kind of goes, let go of the past. You know, it's a properly cathartic song. You've got to listen to the lyric. And while she's utterly bonkers, Sia gives us Unstoppable, which is, you know, a really high octane self-belief song for morning walks and the start of the day. All right. Tell you what, actually, if you listen to Sia Unstoppable on your morning walk, it's going to turn into a morning strut. More soulful and grounding, you've got Ben Howard's Keep Your Head Up. Oh, the classic that is Tracy Chapman's Fast Car. That's really raw and human and, you know, just filled with longing for something more. Leon Bridges sings Coming Home in a really smooth and warm way, which is all about, that song's all about reconnecting with yourself. Last few, there will be more on the list on the website, but I don't want this to turn into a long, boring list of music. Lizzo, Good As Hell, is really joyful and feel good, and that'll have you dancing around whilst you cook and celebrate not drinking. Vampire Weekend, Harmony Hall is just wonderful instrumentally, and it's sunshine in a song, that one. And Harry Styles, possibly a lesser known track, Treat People With Kindness. It's lighthearted, but it is surprisingly meaningful. So belt that one out loud. I could go on, all right? I could go on and on and on. I love my music. I love it. But best I put the full list into the free resources on my website so you can download it and then create a playlist in your own time. Okay. And of course, don't forget that you can listen to the Big Drink Rethink when you're walking, lounging, or doing what you love to do. And again, you know, I'm going to put a wee list of the most relevant summer-related episodes onto that summer resources sheet. So there you have it. There you have it. The first of the summer mini-series, kicking off with why holidays are challenging, how to try and navigate them, and some great reads, tunes, and some recommended podcast episodes on that sheet on my website, thebeliefscoach.com. Okay, head there. There's a section called The Big Drink Rethink, and there's free resources there. So look, let this be a truly different summer, all right? One where you don't just escape, but where you return to yourself, where sunshine becomes a cue for presence, and where your deepest connections, those that are about connection and joy and rest and meaning, are met in ways that don't come with a price of a hangover or anxiety or a crash the next morning, okay? Let curiosity take center stage. I wonder what holidays feel like when they're not all around booze, but they're all about me. That's not selfish, by the way. That is self-honoring. And it doesn't mean that it's all about you and it's not about the rest of the family. If you can make this summer holiday about you in this way, oh my God, do the family and the kids benefit from a more present, more real, more genuine mum or dad, okay? So, as I say, not selfish, just self-honoring, and it might just be the most life-changing summer holiday you have. So thank you for listening, and I'll be back next week with the next in the mini series. Thank you for listening and getting curious. Please rate, review, and follow this podcast on Apple or Spotify or wherever you're choosing to listen. And don't forget to tune in to the next episode. And you can find out more about the Big Drink Rethink by heading to my website, thebeliefscoach.com. That's the beliefs, BELIEFS coach.com, where you will see clear links to the show.